have confidence in some things, I think, right? Primarily like the Word of God. Shouldn't we have confidence that God heard our prayers this morning? Shouldn't we have confidence that He is working behind the scenes on things that we don't even see right now? Right? We should have confidence in that. But many times we get so caught up in the here and now, we can't see what's ahead of us. We can't see the future. We can't see forward. And when we can't see forward, when we can't see the future, we are blind to things that are around us. And I'll be talking about how we see things today and what we're hoping for in the future. But before I get into that, I want to talk about some of the things that I talked about last week. And last week, I brought scripture to you at a 2 Peter chapter 1, 3, and 4. And it was talking about how we've been given all things that pertain to life. And I was breaking it down that this life, to just sum up the life that God has given us in the simplicity of everything, that word there is salvation. He's given us everything that pertains to us being saved in life. And what that salvation comes with, right? The promises of God. It comes with an inheritance. It comes with everlasting life. It comes with the ability to cast out demons and cleanse the leper. You understand what I'm saying? It comes with the Holy Spirit. It's huge. It's more than just the air that we breathe right now. And then it says, and godliness. And I broke down that word godliness, and that word godliness basically mean a Godward attitude, a duty that we have. Meaning, so as we think on the salvation that God has given us, we have this Godward, we should have a Godward attitude on everything that He's done for us to be right here at this point in our walk with the Lord. And then I was breaking down Philippians 2:12, and it talks about that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And in that, I was saying that word fear, actually, you can just render it the word respect. Are you guys with me so far? Those that were here last week, you remember what I'm saying? And when you respect what God has done for you, it totally transforms that word fear, right? So as I go through this life, as I've been given this beautiful salvation to walk out in this life, and I've been given this everything to godliness, meaning I should have this Godward attitude towards things, I'm going to walk it out with respect to God, and I tremble within on not doing something that isn't right to God. Now, God is a forgiver, right? And the Bible even says that we're hidden with Jesus Christ in God. He forgives us of things that we do, but that doesn't mean we should just keep doing them. Amen? Amen. All right, so as we're pushing forward and pushing through this, it goes on in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And verse 4 breaks it down. It says, through His glory and integrity, He has given us His promises that are high of the highest value. Through these promises, you will share in the divine nature. Underline divine nature if you write in your Bible. If you don't, it's okay to write in your Bible. This divine nature, okay, because you have escaped the corruption that sinful desires cause in the world. So, He's given us this life, salvation. He's given us godliness. His attitudes towards Him should be like a duty to us, right? It's not a heavy. It should be an honor to be there. And He's given us a divine nature, okay? In other words, He took the nature that we were born with, Adam's nature, human nature, sin nature, all three, they're three in one, right? Adam, sin, human nature is three in one, meaning there's imperfection in us that we're born with. And God, because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that was sent to live in us, He has said, now, okay, I'm giving you my nature, God's own divine nature that does what? It lives in us. To do what? To remind us of what God wants in our lives. So, hear me. If you're trying to walk through life in this life of salvation, and you're trying to walk through life with all the godliness, and you're going, why am I always messing up and not doing anything godly, like a Godward attitude? Maybe it's because you're not allowing the divine nature that's in you to move freely within your life. Because this is divine nature. Divine nature that we received is different from our human nature. It's completely different, right? Divine nature is godly characteristics. These things, and this is the most important to understand, the divine nature desire the things of God. So, when you're walking through life and you're desiring the things that are good, just, right, noble, anything of a good report, walking in love, gentleness, kindness, patience, the fruit of the Spirit, that is the divine nature of God, His characteristics. It's the wisdom of God. It's the love of God. It's the peace of God. It's the joy of God. That is the divine nature of God. And we are recipients of that. That's a beautiful thing. That is beautiful. Now, I know what happens in life is all of a sudden we feel like, well, but I don't feel it. I don't feel it. Sometimes we don't feel things all the time, but that's why it's important to know and understand the word and then apply it to your life. Because you can know a whole lot of things, but if you don't apply what you know, then all of a sudden it's just knowledge, but no power. We miss power because we don't use the ability that we have to exercise. Right? Amen. Does any of that make sense? Yes. Right? And then it says, so all of this comes from the Holy Spirit that we have. And our lives are now hidden with Christ. Jesus Christ. Wow. Your life is now hidden with Christ. That's why when God is looking down, He sees the blood of Jesus covering you. Not the old nature, not Adam's nature, not sinful nature, but He sees the blood of Jesus covering you. Because according to Colossians 3:3, we are hidden with Christ in God. That's amazing, right? Isn't that cool? Yeah. And so that we walk through life of salvation forgiven. But yet I come back to confidence in what? What is your confidence in? And so I was listening to a minister this week, and he started to break some things down. And I just gravitated to what he was saying. Irwin McManus is his name. He's a senior pastor at Mosaic Church in California. And you can Google him. Got good words to say. And so I was gleaning some things from there, and I'm like, man, this relates to what I'm talking about right now, move of the Spirit, right? And so I like to share some of these things. And so I have a question. Why do we pray for things we have never seen or had? Because we want to see them and have them, right? Who has ever heard somebody pray for world peace? Right? Do we have world peace? Have we ever had world peace? Who have you ever heard pray for justice across the land? Have we ever had justice across the land? No, but we pray for it, right? What about, Lord, you know, just I pray that everybody just loves everybody. You seen it? No? At times? Everybody in the whole world? No, I'm talking about at church, yeah. But I'm talking about in the whole world. We haven't. This is because, do you know why we pray for these things? It's because of God's divine nature that's in us. Do you see? We want to see the fruit of what life used to be like. Do you see? So when was there world peace? Before Adam fell. When was there complete and perfect justice? Before Adam fell. Do you see? Now we are born of Adam's seed, but all of that stuff used to be there. And so what Jesus come preaching? He came preaching the kingdom of God. Listen, people, the kingdom of God is returning. It's at hand. It's with me, Jesus, so that I can get you into a place. Why should Christianity cover the entire world? Because if Christianity covered the entire world and people walked in that, then you would have perfect peace, perfect love. The right love, not lust, the right love, the right kind of peace, the right kind of understanding, not Mike's right, the Bible's right, okay? So, but that's why, and this is how I relate this, how I heard it, and how I want to share it with you guys. Who's ever heard of phantom pain? Phantom pain is the pain of somebody who has had a limb amputated, okay? And what happens is, doctors used to think that it was a psychological issue. They used to think that, oh man, they're just thinking their leg is still there and that's why they have that pain. But through science, they have figured out that no, it's actually the nerve pathways that have traveled to that leg that once was there or the arm that once was there. And it is really a true thing. They actually have pain phantom because the nerves and everything have a memory of what used to be there. Follow what I'm saying. They have a memory of what used to be there. Do you see the reason we're praying for peace all over the world and love all over the world and justice all over the world is because it's phantom pain of our soul. Because it's, we're praying. See, you can't have phantom pain of something you never had before. But why do we have pain in our heart going, Lord, let there be peace. Lord, let there be love. Lord, let there be justice. Why do we have that? Because we once used to have it at the creation of mankind, and we lost it through sin. But God, in his infinite wisdom and how beautiful he is because of Jesus Christ, said, no, check it out. I'm going to give you my nature back. So at least individually, you can now have peace that passes all understanding. Individually, you now can have joy that is unspeakable. Individually, now you can love like you never loved before because I'm giving you the characteristics of me. You can use my wisdom that I have. And the list goes on and on when you look up characteristics of God. Amen. And that's availed to us. But we miss it because our faith gets altered through circumstances that take place in our life. Something bad happens. I'm losing faith. Bad stuff happens all the time. Talking this morning in prayer. Trials and testing is like the fuel to get us to change. But people are like, I don't want to change. I'm not talking to you, Pastor Lisa. Okay. She knows what I'm talking about. No, anyways. But I don't want to change because change is hard. Change hurts sometimes. And I'm saying, well, you can stay in that trial or that test and see how that feels all your life, or you can change something, right? Come to the Lord. It's an exchange, right? I don't like my life anymore. You can have it, God, because I want the divine nature. I want your characteristics. I want your ability. I want your power. I want your love. I want your joy. And goes on. The list goes on. Oh, so, you don't know who you really are until you're around people. Why did God put his first fruit of the Spirit as love? You see, we're always trying to say, well, I'm a good person, I got integrity, I got this, I got that. Maybe you do. But the only thing that's going to test that to its capability is people. Oh, I got patience. Until you get around people. I got love until you get around somebody you don't like. And all of a sudden the love turns to hate. Now you need to start evaluating yourself. Whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, I'm a kind individual. Until somebody cuts you off going down the road and then you punch the ceiling and throw fingers in the air that equal one, you know. And it's like, what's going on? And so at that point, it's like, am I walking in divine nature or am I walking in human nature, my flesh, we would call it, right? And we evaluate these things and then we go back and go, thank you, Jesus, that I'm hidden with you and God because, you know, I know he sees these things, but he's not holding them against me. Oh, but Lord, because you've given me everything that pertains to godliness, I want to do better. I want to do better today than I did yesterday. And I want to do better tomorrow than I'm doing today. And, it, you know, if my mouth tends to be the one that slips all the time with swear words, you know, I'm sorry, God, because I'm gonna learn to speak a different way. I'm going to learn to speak in a way that would build people up instead of break people down. And all of a sudden, you start to have conversations, I do anyways, with myself about how things pertain to life. Like, how does God really work in my life? Can I see? When I was putting this definition together, and it says that with the divine nature, we desire the things of God. I'm started thinking, do I desire the things of God? What does God desire? You know? And these are the things we have to ask ourselves, because everybody wants to know a why. Right? Why? Why? Why should I desire the things of God? Why should my life be different than it was before? And then you have to remind yourself, remember, you exchanged your life. You gave your old life away. Quit going to the altar and picking it back up. Or the sewer, wherever you left it, right? Right? Sometimes we got to just remind ourselves so that we're not continually stuck in different areas. Faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13. You guys all heard that? Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. I want to talk a little bit about faith right now, because I think it's very important. So Hebrews 11:6, I want to read first, because it's the first part of the faith that I want to go to. And it says simply, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. So take that. The last part, He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. It's impossible to please God without faith, and then because He rewards those who seek Him. Do you see, we think, oh my gosh, I can't please God because I don't have faith or the right faith. No, it's not a bad word in here. It's saying, listen, I want to please You. I want to make things better for You. I've given my Son, I've given my Word, I've given everything for You. Individualize it for You so that things can be better in your life right now and forevermore. So in that, this is what you need to do. You have to believe that I'm God. You have to believe that I actually hear your prayers. You have to believe that I'm capable of creating all things, or have created all things, and continue to do so. You see, God has an imagination. He imagined you. Pastor Weldon a few weeks back was talking about how our bodies have been made and all the intricate design that's gone into just the very one little tiny cell with its own little powerhouse called the mitochondria that keeps that cell moving and going and alive, and it feeds and it eats and it attacks things in your body that shouldn't be there. I mean, God, He didn't just think this up. He imagined it, right? Before the creation of earth, He imagined it, and then He spoke, let there be light. But it had to become a part of His dream, if you will. This pastor I was listening to, he said he was writing a book, and he named it something about the people God dreams about, something like that. And the publisher said, no, you can't write that book titled that, because God doesn't dream. And he goes, hold on a minute. I dream, and everybody I've talked to dreams, and you're saying God doesn't dream? That means that I can do something God can't. Guess what? God smiles. God has fun. God dreams. God does everything and then some that you can do, right? Except sin. Except sin. Oh, because that's simply the absence of good in our lives. So, confidence is what I'm going to in 11:1. And I'm reading out a New Living Translation. First, you have to believe that God is God. All right, you have to have faith in that. Now, 11:1, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It's the confidence of what we hope for that will actually happen. Underline hope for. Do you know hope is future? Past hope is regret. Past hope is regret. Hope is future. It's the confidence in something that we hope for. It's the thing that we want to see happen. Right? With God, we have now confidence. We believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that what I'm hoping for will happen. It will take place. Here's the problem. The problem is that most of us at any given time have confidence in what we have, not what's hoped for. For example, I'm going to use a female. This has no bearing on anything, but I'm using female. The woman who is dating a guy. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's heard these stories or talked to individuals about this. This woman's dating a guy, and she's always complaining about this guy. He doesn't show up on time. He calls and then doesn't come. He always wants to hang out with the boys. He never wants to hang out with me. When he comes around, he expects me to pay for everything. He's even used harsh words against me. He's even hit me before. He cheats on me. He's got, I think, multiple girlfriends. And let's say I'm counseling the individual and I'm like, what are you thinking? What? But there's people out there like this all the time. I talk to people like this all the time, right? What is going on? Leave the individual. And the answer is, but I can't. I love him. He's my guy. They have confidence in what they have, not what's hoped for. You see, this girl wants a guy that is there for her. She wants a guy that will just cherish everything that she does, will love her, speak kindly to her, live his life for her. I mean, this is her desire. This is her hope. But she stays with this bum because she has him right now. Even though he treats her like trash and not the princess that she should be, he's my boyfriend. I love him. Her confidence is in what she has, not what's hoped for. God says you need to have confidence in what is hoped for. Don't get stuck. Let's take it this way. The individual who's working that dead-end job. I hate this job that I have. I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe I went to college for this. I hate my boss. I hate getting up in the morning. I hate working this shift. I hate the people I work with. I hate everything about it. I can't stand this. I wish it was different. All right, brother, well, you need to change jobs. I can't. I have a mortgage. I have a wife, and I have kids, and I have car payments. I can't. That individual has more confidence in what they have than what is hoped for. All right? And God is saying, as his children, I want you to have confidence in what you're hoping for. I don't want you to settle into the same old, same old. I want you to dream. I want you to have a vision. I want you to step out in faith. Woo, sometimes that takes change. And that can be really scary. But you could stay in this messed up thing that you complain about every day of your life that doesn't fulfill you in any kind of way, or you can have your complete confidence in the hope. I'm here to tell you, for me to quit nursing and come pastoring full time took a whole lot of confidence and hope in the future. Okay? Still to this day, I said, Lord, if I am not supposed to be here doing this, then close the door. But he continues to make a way so that I can be here and pastor. And I'm thinking, all right, Lord, you haven't closed the door. So I continue to have faith and continue to go. But every day is our walk. See, I don't hate this. I love this. If I hated it, then I should leave. But I love this. And I love you guys too. Sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just, Lisa, I love you. Let's take it a little bit deeper. What about the person that you run into that says, man, I hate my life. I hate my existence. I hate what my life's become. I hate waking up in the morning. I hate people around me. I just hate my very existence. I don't want to be kind. I don't want to be gentle. I don't want to love anybody. I'm just done with this life. You know what you should do with something that you don't like? Regift it. So your life, if you hate it so much, Jesus Christ says, hey, I'll take that from you. And you don't have to hold on to your life anymore because I will exchange it for a new life. But we get caught up in, no, because then I'll have to stop everything and quit having fun. Have you lost your mind? If there's somebody listening today, exchange your life. It's the best thing you can do. We hold on to these things. So again, remember this. Is your confidence in what you have or what's hoped for? The Bible says your confidence should be in what is hoped for. God wants you to have confidence in the future, not in just right here, right now. You see, confidence in something doesn't mean worry in something, right? He came against worry, and he said, have confidence in the hope. And so the hope that we have as Christians is a confident hope. Guess what? The way it is today, if it's bad, tomorrow will be better. And you have to hope that tomorrow will be better. You can't just stay and start speaking, well, tomorrow's going to be just as bad. Matter of fact, I saw the weather report. It just downright stinks. Stop it. You have dominion. Start praying that weather change. Come on. You can rain everywhere you want, but just don't rain right here. This is my bubble, Lord, and I want dry. Washed. I had to write this down. This is so good. You ready? Jesus did not come to tell us what we need to do to get to God. Want to say that again? Jesus did not come to tell us what we need to do to get to God. No, he told us what God is willing to do to get to us. You know what? I'm going to send my son. And he's going to come down in human form. And he is going to take on every burden you have, every sin that you have. He's going to die a horrible death on the cross. He's going to be spit on and beaten and stabbed and ridiculed. He's going to be shamed. He's going to have guilt put on him. He's going to say, Lord, why have you forsaken me? It's going to be so bad. It is going to be so bad. But that's what I'm willing to do in order to have you in my life. That's what God did. Jesus didn't come down saying, no. I know we go, but Pastor Mike, you know, there's scripture that says that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to him except through him. Well, yeah, that's true. But what did he do for you in order for that to be a reality? He gave up everything as a demonstration to show you his sacrifice for you. It's not a cheap price that he paid, and I highly respect that. See, I work out my faith, right, with respect, not fear, respect for what he did for me and my wife and my kids and all around me that I know and love. Even new people in my family. Just this week, I saw made a dedication to the Lord, man, and I'm just like, woo, yes. I put back on Facebook message, yeah, excellent. Why? Because that's the most excellent decision you could ever make. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing. Then it says, reading on, that when we have this confident hope for things that will actually happen, it gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. Again, many times most of us have faith in the things that we can see. Well, I see that, so I know it's real. This is a microphone. I'm not imagining this microphone. I actually am holding it and I see it. I don't need faith to see this microphone. But it says that you'll have faith in those things, assurance of faith in those things that you cannot see. Let me break this down a little bit for you down home. You ever sat with somebody and they're telling you, nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. And you're thinking to yourself, what are you talking about? I love you. Everybody I know loves you. You see, they can't see what's really taking place. They've lost all faith, and now they're blind to what really is taking place. Do you see, when we have hope for the future and we have assurance of those things that we cannot see, we're actually gifted to see in the spiritual realm, to see beyond that those things will manifest, that those things will happen. But when we're stuck in self and not divine nature, not God's nature, but stuck in our own human nature, it's like everybody hates me, when the reality is nobody in the world hates you. Nobody loves me, but in reality, everybody you come in contact with loves you, and they talk good about you, and they build you up, and they praise you. And then in the medical field, we say, well, they're just attention-seeking. But the reality is they're just blind. They're blind in the spiritual realm to really see actually what's going on. And so we have people all throughout this world who are blind to faith in God. They're blind to what's really their real potential in life because they're focusing on poor me. And reality is they've got all kinds of things going on for him, for them. My life is horrible. I can't believe it. But yet you see them and they're like, but you got a loving wife and you have kids that adore you. I hear them speaking that. You are seeing it. You got to be, because I'm hearing them tell you, I love you. I'm hearing them want to run and sit on your lap, your kids, and hug you. But your life is so horrible. You've got a job where everybody there just absolutely adores you. They idolize you. You're the best thing since peanut butter and sliced bread. And they tell you that all the time. But yet, they can't see it because they've totally lost hope for the future. You see, God is telling us, quit looking at what's just right here in front of us, because I'm much bigger than that. Amen. Just like God dreamed up this universe and our creation, He has given us the same ability to dream. Amen. And what happens when we stop dreaming, we lose focus. When we stop planning things out, we lose an understanding of wanting to see a future to move forward in life. My wife and I purposely talk about retirement. And that's a pretty heavy subject when you're in your 40s. Because is Social Security going to be around? You know, did I work long enough to receive a pension? Did, you know, what is going on? Are we investing enough to be able to have money that comes in when we want to retire? The thing is, here's the key to all that. We're talking about it together. Meaning we have a future together. See, if this was my only concern and not shared by her, then we're separate and not together. But you see, we're in this battle together. We're in this fight together. We're in ministry together. We're serving God together. And we are dreaming and having visions towards the future hope in Christ Jesus. We're dreaming and vision about the days that our daughters are married and we have grandkids. But we're doing this together. Don't mean to embarrass you. but we're doing this together. Why? Because the two of us on that day that we said I do became one. Are you with me? I don't preach on that anymore. I'm just saying. We have a future plan together. And God wants us to have a future hope in Him. Every time I pray, we pray all week long. And every single week there's answered prayer. Man, that prayer didn't happen until we spoke it and then gave our faith and hope to God. And then He manifest. So the future hope became a now present. The future hope became a now present. The future hope became a now present. And it keeps moving in that direction. And those ones that we're continuing to pray for, we still have hope. We still have hope. Why? Because we're seeing the fruit of it. Yes, sir. We're actually seeing what happens.
Yes, sir.
How about Hebrews 11:3? I'm getting close, guys. Faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. By faith, we understand, by God's command, the universe was formed. And that we now see, or what we now see, did not come from anything that can be seen. How many know that nothing is different than something? Did you know that? You know, many times people would be like, well, the universe, you know, it came from nothing, and then it became something. No, you can't get something from nothing. And that's why the Bible doesn't say that. It says that anything, right, that was invisible became visible, meaning it was there. Where was it? It was in the imagination of God. It was right there. So follow me. In your imagination, in your dreams, can you see a future that you want? Don't lose hope in the future that lies before you. Don't be confident in just what you have at the present. Push forward and look for those things. We choose many things based on what we see, and we miss out on what we don't see. I see this right now. And because you're happy and satisfied with what you see right now, you're never going to see the future hope that was once a dream. It'll never manifest because it's no longer a hope for you, because you've lost all confidence in the future hope. You're only confident in what you have. The choice that you make today will determine your future tomorrow. Every choice you make today will determine your future tomorrow, and then on, and then on, and then on.
Yes, sir.
You have been created to create. We create the future. The future of mankind goes through procreation and more mankind being produced. We create the future through the inventions. Do you know, I know an inventor. Anybody know any inventors? That invention was dreamed up. It was imagined in their mind before it ever came to be. Mm-hmm. Have confident hope in the future through our God. You've been imagined to imagine. You were both a work of art and an artist at work.
Yeah, good.
Have faith for what is hoped for. Let's close in prayer. Father, there are many things that happen in life that tend to be obstacles in our way. Father, I come against every obstacle right now for those that are listening, for those that are here. Every wall, every barrier that your children have seen in their life, I thank you, Lord, that you give them eyes to see beyond those barriers. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the ability, power, and strength to overcome all things through your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, anyone in here who is stuck in the present or stuck in the past, I thank you right now for a bright future. I thank you for a confident hope in moving forward. I thank you, Lord, that right now you're transforming minds to see the beauty that lies ahead of them and not the misery that they stay stuck in. Father, I thank you that you give us eyes to see the truth of love, the truth of joy, the truth of peace. Father, as our soul longs for so many things to manifest in this present world, I thank you, Lord, that we do not grow weary in well-doing. But Father, with you and the power of your Holy Spirit, the respect for you and our salvation, I thank you that with brothers and sisters who know and love you alike, that we can continually be strengthened every day of our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ that comes together corporately to worship you and to praise you. I thank you for your word that transforms us, Father, just as your Spirit does. Father, I continue to pray for a radical transformation within the body of Christ. Father, all those that are here, those that are listening, I thank you, Lord, that Father, you love them. I thank you that you bless them and that you pour out your love upon them. And Father, if there is anyone here or that is listening, Father, that is tired of their life, maybe they've had a relationship with you, maybe they don't know you at all. And Father, I thank you that your Son Jesus is there right now, willing to exchange their old for something new. Father, I thank you that all our burdens we have, we can lay upon your shoulders, Jesus. And you take them without regret. You take them willingly. Matter of fact, you take them with joy because you know of the breakthrough that it gives us. But Father, I pray that everyone who has laid down guilt and shame, laid down unforgiveness, they've laid down past hurts, Father, I thank you right now that you will impress upon them to never pick them up again. And Father, we walk confidently in you, in a confident hope, knowing that you are God, that we are your children. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you.